discusses the challenge of Avraham Avinu to find a suitable wife, right, for Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu tells Eliezer, "Lo sikach ish livni mivnos haknani, asher anochi yoshev b'kirbo." Joshua Saran discusses at length that what exactly was the thinking of Avraham Avinu. Why is it that Eretz Canaan was considered to be an inappropriate place to find a wife for Yitzchak? After all, the Ran writes that halalu ode avodazara, v'halalu ode avodazara. What exactly was the deficiency of Benos Canaan? And here the Ran describes, right, the different characteristics of Midos versus Deos. That no doubt it's true that whoever would be the wife of Yitzchak Avinu would have to adopt that belief of the Zera Avram, and in terms of Deos, one would no doubt would have to be a Mamin Bahashem. The challenge, of course, was in terms of Midos, because the Ran points out, whereas Deos, one could acquire, one could be taught, when it comes to Midos, that is something that is ingrained, that is a function of environment. To an extent, the Ran writes, it's almost genetic, and therefore, that is something that, of course, is possible, Shviras Hamidos, but that is something that is quite challenging. And therefore, the test would be one of proper Midos. And of course, that was the mark by which Eliezer saw who would be the appropriate wife. The Midos of Rivki Menu, that is what determined that she would be the one who marries Yitzchak. In fact, Rashi comments that when, in fact, Rivka was able to pass this test and demonstrate that she was Balas Chesed, so Eliezer gave Shnei Tzmidim to Rivka. Rashi comments the Shnei Tzmidim are supposed to represent, right, the Aseres Hadibros, the two of the Luchos Habris, which are Mitzumados, which are forged as one. And the reason the Torah describes that the Mishkolim, that their weight was Asara Keseh, is because that is reminiscent of the Aseres Hadibros themselves. So Rashi writes that that in fact is the mashal, that the smidim were supposed to represent the two luchos, and its weight of asara kesef was supposed to represent asara sedibros. What exactly is the reference of luchos and asara sedibros? Perhaps one could extend in light of what the Ramban writes in Parshas Yisrael, that the luchos were not simply a single list of asara sedibros, but rather there were two luchos. Why is it that there were two luchos? Because there is a division between mitzvos that are ben adam l'makom and mitzvos ben adam l'chavero. The first unit of Aseres Hadibros are chiyuvim ben adam l'makom, and the second half of Aseres Hadibros, those are shibudim ben adam l'chavero. And in order to demonstrate that they are inseparable, the two luchos were mitzumados. They were forged as one, because no doubt that our role as an Eved Hashem is to be able to emphasize both areas of mitzvos ben adam l'makom, mitzvos that are ben adam l'chavero. The Ramban continues, and this is an issue Minchastinov touches, but this requires a separate shir, that the mitzvah that serves as a bridge, as an elision in the luchos, is the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. That's the very bottom of the first column, because that's somewhat of a transition. Kibud av v'aim has elements of ben adam l'makom and elements of ben adam l'chavero. Ben adam l'chavero is a form of a hakara satov. Ben adam l'makom is the Gemara writes in Kedushin that shlosha shutfim ba'adam, and therefore kibud av v'aim is a form of being mechabed kadosh baruch hu, and therefore that serves as a natural bridge between the first and the second half of the Aseres Hadibros. So if the essence of Aseres Hadibros is exactly that point, that it's insufficient really to excel in ben adam l'makom, the need also to emphasize ben adam l'chavero, and that ultimately was the task of Rivki Imenu, therefore Eliezer gives the two smidim, as Rashi writes, that represents the two luchos, the weight that represents the Aseres Hadibros. The Ran also comments, this you find in Kliyakart as well, that Avraham Avinu stressed Eliezer that Asher Anochi Yoshev Bekirno. Why exactly was that relevant? Don't go ahead and take a woman from Canaan, because after all, Asher Anochi Yoshev Bekirno, because that is where we live. Why is that considered to be relevant, that that is where we live? And here the Ran and the Kliyakart emphasize the importance of surrounding and environment in terms of Shviras Hamidos. If you're going to elicit a certain type of change, it's necessary to have a change in environment. The person, let's say, is brought up in a certain culture, and now it's necessary that they have to adopt a different set of value, a person must uproot themselves and position themselves in an environment which is conducive to that change. If Rivka would have been from Canaan, so therefore she would have been exposed to the same household that she was raised, the same types of influences, and if it's necessary to elicit any type of change, now to be part of the Zera Avram, it's necessary to go ahead and to relocate, to have an environment which is conducive to that change. And therefore that is exactly what Avraham Avinu says. Part of the deficiency of Canaan is objectively that they were shtufei zima, deficient midos, and part of that is this is where we are. And therefore, in order to uproot someone, to adopt our values, that could not be possible if she were to come from Eretz Canaan. It's an important element that sometimes as part of the process of redirection or even the process of tshuva, that environment is considered to be critical. The Gemara writes, for example, in Sanhedrin of Havay, that one who was a mesachek b'kuvya is posel le'evus. And the Gemara says that emasai chazarasa, what is the process of tshuva? The Gemara says, mi shishavru pasposeyem afilu bechinam lo avdei. That a person will go ahead and smash their dice, that they won't even play this game for free without gambling. The difficulty, of course, is the following. But what exactly is the isser of mesachek b'kuvya? One possibility is they know sukkim b'shuva shalolam. They're not being constructive members of society. Or perhaps there's an element of nisr of gezel, as the Gemara writes in Sanhedrin, because asmach de lo kanya. But all of that is true if a person is doing this habitually, and a person is doing this not just casually, but you're doing it, right, for funds. You're doing it as a form of gezel. Why does the Gemara assume that part of the redirection, the tshuva process, is afilu v'chinam lo'avde, that a person won't even play the same game for free? And the answer apparently is what the Rambam stresses in Perek Beis Hilchos Tshuva, that when a person is doing tshuva, it's necessary to strike in the opposite direction, to uproot, right, any of the circumstance, the environment that was able to give rise to chait. And therefore, if a person is posleid, it's because of the gezel of gambling. So the tshuva is not simply don't gamble for money, but rather afilu b'chinam lo avde. It's necessary to address the environment, the surrounding, the condition that we're able to bring about that psul. So similarly, the Ran and the Kliyaka write, in order to have effective change, especially in areas of midos and deos, it's necessary to create a new environment, and that is alluded to in what Avraham Avinu said to Eliezer, that Asher Anochi Yoshev Bekirbo. In order to ensure that Eliezer would fulfill the shlichus of Avram, so Avraham Avinu was Mashbia Eliezer. And here the Torah tells us that a shvur was imposed, Vashbiacha Vashem Elokei Hashamayim. That term Vashbiacha is quite striking in the following sense. Vashbiacha normally implies an enforced shvur. That is what we call Alpidin Mushba Mipi Acherim, as opposed to a request that a person take a shvur. For example, when Yaakov wanted Yosef HaTzadik to make a shvua, Al Nasig Reina Mitzrayim, there the pasuk doesn't say Va'ashviyacha. There the pasuk says Yishavali and Va'yishavalo. Yaakov requested a shvua, and Yosef made that shvua. When it comes, for example, in Parshas Toldos, regarding the Mechiras HaBechora, in such a case again, Yaakov and Esav, Yishavali and Va'yishavalo. Here the Torah uses the term va'ashbiacha. Ashbiacha is a very technical term, and that is what we call mushba mipi acherim, an imposed shvua. Another glaring difference in the psukim is the following. Is it necessary to invoke a shem Hashem when a person makes a shvua? If you look, for example, in Parshas Toldos, Mechiras HaBechora, Yishavali Vayishavalo, you don't find an askara shem Shamayim. Yaakov and Yosef, Reshis Ben Zayin, Anasik Rebbe Mitzrayim, Yishavali, Vayishavalo. Here, Vashviacha Vashem, Elokei Hashamayim, Elokei Haaretz. See, two glaring differences. One is the Vashviacha Mushra Piacherim, and the second is we invoke Shem Shamayim. What exactly is the meaning of this distinction? So if you look at two Mishnayis in the Sefer Shavuos, you find the difference between a Shuas Bitui as opposed to a Shuas Ha'edus. The first Mishnah is in Shuas Nafkoptes and Beis that talks about a Shuas Bitui. That's the very end of the third parak. The very next Amadav, Lamed Amadav, is the beginning of a new parak of Shuas Ha'edus. And there, the two Mishnayos distinguish between a Shuas Bitui as opposed to a Shuas Ha'edus. When it comes to a Shuas Bitui, a person just takes upon himself a Shuah, I will eat, I won't eat, I did, I didn't, in such a case, then the Shuah must be Mipi Atzmo. A person has to take the Shuah himself. There's no possibility of Mushva Mipi Achim. I very much want you to do something or not to do something. I can't impose a Shuah upon you. The most I can do is I can request, right? But I cannot impose. That's not true when it comes to a Shuah Sa'idu. Something happens, and I know that you are an aid, and I want you to come to Beis Din, right, and testify. And for whatever reason, you're responding that Ein Ani Yodei Lecha Eidus. I have no clue. I wasn't there. I didn't see. I can subpoena you, and I can impose a Shuah upon you. That is what is called a Shuah Sa'idus. She'ein Ani Yodei Lecha Eidus. If that is the case, that if you're lying, you don't simply vada shuas bitu, you vada shuas edus, a different notion for shuas edus as opposed to cases of a shuas bitu. One of the marked differences between them is exactly this concept of mushmi piatsmo as opposed to mushma mipi acherim. Why exactly is that true? Why should there be a difference in that regard? The answer for it is very simple. I want you to make a shuas bitu. I can insist. How can I insist? By what right can I impose a shuah? I can request, but I cannot insist. What about when it comes to shuah sa'edus? No, there it's much more. There, I can demand, I can insist. Why is that true? Because the Torah is not bikrahei, hu ein ora o yada, no yagid vinasa avona. The Torah insists that there's a chiyuv agada. I am not asking you to testify, you know, out of the goodness of your heart, please come to Beis Din and testify on my behalf. The Torah tells us that you have a chiyuv hagada, im lo yagin, v'nasa avona. Tosfos even writes in Bava Kama that only one who has a chiyuv hagada would be included in a case of a shvuas edus. It's a very interesting chiddush that if there are certain individuals that lack a chiyuv hagada, let's assume, for example, a zakei shel pichvodo, or certain details regarding a melech that would lack a chiyuv hagada, would they be chayiv a shvuas edus? After all, Shuas Eidus means that the Torah insists that you testify, and therefore I have a right to impose a Shuah. So that's true in the context of Bitui versus Eidus. I can only impose Mushba Mipi Acherim by virtue of, right, the authority that the Torah grants. The Torah says you have to testify. The Torah does not say that you have to make a Shuas Bitui, and therefore there's no concept of a Mushba Mipi Acherim. The Netziv writes in this parsha, these psukim, Vashbiach HaBashem, it's found in Hemek Davar, and then at the very bottom in the Harchiv Davar, the Netziv elaborates even further, that this is a more universal principle. This is found in Chumash when it comes to Shuas Bitui, as opposed to a Shuas Ha'edus. In a Shuas Ha'edus, I must testify because the Pasuk says, Im lo yagid v'nasa avona. But let's assume, for example, there's a Shibu. And that shibud requires that you must, right, listen to my words. So the Netziv writes a fascinating kiddush that's comparable to a shuas edus. In other words, if the Torah creates a certain shibud, and that shibud means that you do not have a right to say no, you must do so al pidin, then I have a right to be mashbiyehu. Because Eliezer was an Eved Avram, and the Eved is Meshubah to follow out the legitimate instruction of the Adon, so therefore that's comparable to a Shuah Sa'edus, and therefore Avram Avinu not simply requested a Shuah, but Avram Avinu could demand a Shuah. Mushmi Pi Acherim. That's the Kiddush of the Netziv. Whenever there's a Shibud, so therefore, coupled with that is the concept of Va'ashbiacha. And that is true when it comes to an Eved and an Adon. There is a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, no doubt, but Kibud Av V'Em, strictly speaking, did not require that Yosef bar Yaakov in Eretz Kanaan, and therefore there was no formal Shibud, that's Hishavali Vayishavalo. There was no Shibud that required that Esav give up the Bechorah and sell it to Yaakov Avinu, therefore Hishavali And the Netziv cites a couple more examples. When you look in the Mishnah, the very beginning of Maseches Yumin, Paragalav Mishnah, there the Mishnah tells us that the Ziknei Kohuna were Mashbia, the Kohen Gadol, right? A fear that the Kohen Gadol may deviate from the Seder HaAvocha, and therefore the Mishnah says, Mashbin Anu Aleichem, Shalot Tishana, we are imposing a Shua upon you, the Kohen Gadol, that this shvu must be made. There as well, then it's in front of the Chiddush, that you know what? That is mushba mipi acherim. That's not up to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is obligated to listen to the Sanhedrin, to the Ziknei Kohuna. There is a shibud, and in such a case, then that's mushba mipi acherim, an insistence on a shvu. Then it's in quotes a further example that in Malachim Aleph in Perek Beis, the pasuk says regarding Shimi ben Gera, "Halo hishbaticha," that no, after all, that wasn't a shvu imposed upon you by the melech, that you're not allowed to leave Yerushalayim. What do you mean a melech has the right to impose a shvu? And Ziv writes, yes. If the Torah creates a shibud, whether it's listening to the Sanhedrin or to the melech or the relationship of an eved and adam, in such an instance, the chiddush that is the concept of mushba mipi acherim, and therefore, halo ishbaticha vashem. And interestingly, in all of those examples of mushbe v'acherim, the Shem Hashem is used. Here, vashbiacha vashem lokei ha-shamayim v'lokei ha-aretz, the pasuk in Malachim Aleph, halo ishbaticha vashem, the Mishnah in Yuma in Aleph A, that mishashikem shmo babayis hazeh, the Mishnah invokes the Shem Hashem when it comes to that shvua. Why exactly is that true? One could understand, right, very well. Because you're imposing a shvua by virtue of what? By the authority vested in you by whom? The answer is, right, the Torah Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu insisted that this is what you, the Kohen Gadol, or you must do as a member of the nation, or you as an Eved must do, and therefore that is Halo Hishbaticha Bashem. Those are two diyukim. That the Netziv writes, Vashpiacha and Vashem, Moshe Piacherim, and also invoking a Shem Hashem. The Netziv writes that this apparently is a raya to the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Because if you look at Daf Beis Amud Aleph Maseches Nedarim, the Ram discusses this very issue, when is a Shem necessary when it comes to a Shua, right? They're very unclear. The Rambam Shita, for example, that the Ram quotes, is that there's an Isser Shua, even without a Shem Hashem. But in order to get Malkus, then you have to utilize a Shua b'Shem Hashem. If, for example, I make a Shua without a Shem Hashem and I break the Shua, I'm not Chayiv Malkus. If, however, one made a Shua with the Shem Hashem, in such a case, then I'm Chayiv Malkus. Why is that? You understand very well. Because the Rambam writes, what is the Isser Shua? The Rambam writes a Chiddush that the Pasuk of Shua is Lo Sishavu B'Shmi Hashakim. That's what the Rambam writes. For both a shvu l'shavra as well as a shvu l'havad. It's not at all simple. If you know the Gemara Shvus and Dachav, the Gemara quotes various psukim for shvus. The Gemara has different psukim for shvu l'havad, shvu l'shavar. The Rambam writes the pasuk of all shvus bitui. Whether it's I will do, I won't do, I did, I didn't do, l'shavar, l'havad, it's the same pasuk. Lo, shisavu b'shmi l'shaker. See, Pashem Shat, one could argue, a shvu l'sheker l'shavar is lo sisho b'shmi l'shaker. That I understand, right? The Chiddush, the Rambam, is that's even true of a shvu l'haba. If I make a shvu that I will do something and I don't do it tomorrow, what's wrong with that? You know what's wrong with that? The fact that you didn't do so, it turned out that your use of the Shem Hashem was a sheker. So the Rambam writes, the pasuk is lo sisho b'shmi l'shaker. Other Rishon distinguish. Shvu sheker is only a shvu l'sha'ava. A shvu l'haba is not a shvu sheker. That's like moyach al dvaro. You created a chiyuv, and you didn't fulfill your chiyuv. There's a chalos iser. But the Rambam writes that no, that the iser is an iser sheker both l'haba and l'sha'avar. And l'shitasei, the Rambam writes a shvu b'shem is necessary, both l'haba as well as l'sha'avar. But the Rambam writes that's only as far as malchus. As far as a chalos iser, in iser, you can have an iser even without Shem Hashem liachal dvaro, right? Don't desecrate, right, your words. That applies even if there is no Shem Hashem. The Ram quotes the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Or Rabbeinu Tam writes that there's a difference, this is what fits in so nicely with these parshios, between a shvua which is mushme pi atzmo, as opposed to a shvua which is mushme pi acherim. When do you need a Shem Hashem? Rabbeinu Tam writes, only when, right, it is mushme pi acherim. When this is a shvua which is al yedei acherim. However, if you are taking the shvua yourself, in such a case, then it is not needed. That is the chiddush of the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Yes, it fits in so nicely with the parshios. Now, hishavli vayishavalo, mushme pi atzmo, you don't record as kar Shem Hashem, vashbiacha, mushme pi acherim, that you have to invoke a Shem Hashem. What is the raya? Rabbeinu Tam writes that this is true. Rabbeinu Tam writes the parsha of Sota. The parsha of Sota. After all, the Shvuas HaKohen of Sota contains the Shem Hashem. Since the woman is responding to the Shvuas HaKohen, so therefore, the parsha of Sota invokes the Shem Hashem. Because Mushma Pi Acherim requires Shem Hashem. The Ran writes the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam is quite difficult. Because it's true that the Kohen Gadol initiates, the Kohen initiates the Shua. But what is the response? Va'amra Isha, Amen, Amen. But the woman responds by answering Amen. What's so difficult about that? Amen is not Mushma Pi Acherim. Amen is Mushma Pi Atzmo. That's exactly what that Mishnah says in a Shua's Bitui. There's no Mushma Pi Acherim. But let's assume someone else takes a Shua and I answer Amen. Amen is Kamotzi Shua Mipivdami. Amen works even when it comes to a Shua's Bitui. Not when it comes to a Shua's Eidus, even when it comes to a Shua's Bitui. What do you see from that? That Anias Amen is Kamotzi Shua Mipivdami. That's what the Rambam writes in the Shua's. The Rambam writes, someone takes a shvua and you answer Amen. The Rambam writes, Amen is kamotzi shvua pidami. The Rambam is a great chiddush. Afilu hishviu akum. A goy takes a shvua and you answer Amen. It's your shvua. You know, you understand why the Rambam assumes that that's true. Right? The Rambam writes, you just mentioned, and Yomi Chayav Malchus, if you invoke a Shem Hashem. So wait a second. The Mishnah says, if you make a shvua, and I answer Amen, and I break that Shvua, I'll get Malchus. How can I get Malchus? Only time you get Malchus is if you invoke Shem Hashem. So you know what the answer to that is? Because Amen is Kamotzi Shvua Mipivdami. When I answer Amen, it's as though I articulated, I enunciated those words. And therefore, if I answer Amen, meaning that this shvua will be binding on me as well. It's as though I stated the words of the shvua, and if I break the shvua, that is called Osi Shov B'Shvin L'Shatir. That is the chiddush of the Rambam Shita. Amen is Kamotzi Shov B'Pidami. So how do you understand Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam writes that Shem Hashem is only necessary Mushma Pi Acherim. Barai is the parsha of Sota. Mushma Pi Acherim, Shem Hashem. Therefore, that's the rule. The Rambam says, it's not true. Sota is mushma mipi atzma v'amra isha amen, amen. So the Netziv writes, here in our parsha, in the Harchev Davar, this is also found in the Briskara. If you look in the end of the Chedushi HaGrizal Rambam, you know there's a series of letters. So if you look on Daf Pehei, right, this is what the Briskara addresses, right, in this letter. And then it's in the Briskara point out the following interesting finish. When it comes to the Parsha of Sota, the Torah speaks about an Allah, and the Torah speaks about a Shvua. There's a give and take, the Kohen and the Isha, who is a suffix Sota. What exactly is going on? What the Netziv and the Briskara point out is the following finish. That really there's a dual shvua when it comes to a shvua sasot. What is it that this woman is being told? Right? You're being accused of nashas nashas insa. This is not merely a random accusation. There was kinui and there was stira. So in such a case, no, they're a glaim ladovan, right? To assume that maybe there was somewhat of an abstinence. This woman is Asura Kabbalah, right? Tumaksiva Karayos. So she will go ahead and go through the process of Sota. And the Kohen Gadol tells her these things, that the real ones, right? Are you guilty of znus? Right? And she responds to that she's not. And the Kohen Gadol says the following, that I want you to affirm, to acknowledge, right, the repercussions, right? If in fact you are guilty, the Kohen Gadol writes, right, then this is what's going to happen. And if you are innocent, then you can yishmi Allah, right? That if you're innocent, in such a case, then you're exonerated. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol says to her as follows, right, that there is a shvua, right, which is the denial on her part that she was nashus inshus himself, but also there is the ola. What is the ola? A kabbalas dvarim, an acceptance of the terms, right, of the hashkas hasota, right, that this is what happens if one is guilty. This is what happens if you're innocent. So the woman, right, plays, right, a twofold role in her response. Number one is there is a shvuas ha'isha, right, that she was not an ishus ishus insa. Number two is there is an acceptance of the Allah of the shvuas ha'koin. There's a twofold shvua when it comes to shvuas ha'sota. There's a shvuas ha'isha, a shvuas ha'sota, there's also the shvuas ha'koin. What is the woman doing? She is making the shvuas hasota that she's innocent, and she's accepting what the Torah terms as the ola of the shvuas hakohen. In other words, that amein has a couple of roles. Now, amein is bo shvua, amein is loshon shvua, but amein is also a kabbalas dvarim. Amein also means an acceptance. If you look in the Rambam, for example, the Rambam writes both possibilities, right? And interesting. Hilchos Shavuos, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes that if you answer Amen to someone Shavuah, that's like your Shavuah. That's Kamot Yishuv Pivdom. You'll get Malkus if you breach that Shavuah. The Rambam writes, same Beis Aleph, here in Hilchos Nedarim, the Rambam writes that Amen also works when it comes to a Neder. A person makes a Neder and you answer, I also accept Amen. The Rambam writes, you're bound to pull that Neder. Why is that true? Because Amen is Kabbalas Dvarim. It's interesting. The Rambam defines Amen in Shvua as being Kamotzi Shumi Pivdami. Amen in Neder is Kabbalas Dvarim. Right? If you learn more in Shvua Sinadarim, that's very, very reasonable. Because in Shvua, there's a Maisa Shvua. Shvua requires a Shem Hashem. How does that Shem Hashem relate to me? The answer is because my Amen, right, is a recitation of the Shvua. When it comes to Nidarim, there's no need for a Shem Hashem. Nidarim is just Kabbalas Dvarim. I accept upon myself a neder, right? The Ran writes, there's no such thing as a neder shav. A neder shav. After all, if you make a shvua shav, that's lo sisu Hashem Hashem lo kefal shav. You get malchus daraisa. I make a shvua b'shem Hashem, I will never eat, right? That's a shvua shav. A person takes upon himself an impossible neder, it's not binding. But the Ran writes, there's no neder shav. After all, neder doesn't have a shem Hashem. Neder is just an acceptance of. Neder is a kabbalas dvarim. Shvu is kamotzi shum pivdamim. And therefore the Rambam writes that Amen is a little bit different when it comes to Shvu as opposed to when it comes to Nedarim. When it comes to cases of Shvua, that is kamotzi shum pivdamim. When it comes to Nedarim, Amen is kabbalas dvarim. Then it's simply prescribed point out, this is also true when it comes to the Parsha of Sota. What is the Amen that the woman recites? It's a Shvuas ha'isha, that she is not an Eishas in Shazimsa, Shlo Zanis. Number two, it's a Kabbalas Dvarim of the Allah, of the Kohen. And Amen functions in very different capacities. Now, after all, what does the Pasuk say? Va'amra Isha, the woman responds to the Kohen by saying, Amen, Amen. Interesting. Now, Amen, Amen. What is Amen, Amen? Now, because these are two very different halachos. This is a dual recitation of Amen. This is an Amen of Kamotzi Shemipiv Dami, that this is a Shua Sanisha. And this is an independent Amen of the Kabbalah Sa'ala of the Kohen. But that is Mushmimipi Acherim. So one amen is a shurim piatzmo. The second amen is mushra piacherim. The chiddush Rabbeinu Tam is the reason that the kohen utilizes the Shem Hashem is not because of the first amen, so to speak, of mushra piatzmo. Mushra piatzmo does not require a Shem Hashem. You have shvuas and chumash that don't have a Shem Hashem. Yishavali by yishavalo. The reason Amen is necessary is because of the Mushmet Yacherim of the Shavuos HaKohen. And that is Va'amra Yisha, Amen, Amen. It's true, the Gemara derives from Amen, Amen also a concept of a Gilgul Shavuot. That certainly is true. But even without the Gilgul Shavuot, the Amen, Amen is understood in terms of that dual focus. So that, before, is the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, the two Shavuos when it comes to right, the Shavuos HaIsha and the Shavuos HaKohen. So again, incredibly nadir. And all the Shavuos of these Parshios, right, where Yishavali v'Yishavalo as opposed to Vashbiach HaVashem Elokei HaShemayim v'Elokei HaAretz. This distinction, right, and the uniqueness of Amen, of Kamotzi Shumi Pivdami, right, this is also found in the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos. The Rambam writes in Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, of Hilchos Brachos, that, you know, a person is making a bracha. And I want to be Yotze. One person's making Kiddush, and everyone who is at the table wants to be Yotze with that Kiddush. How do you go ahead and do so? The Rambam writes, you have two options. One option, the Rambam writes, is Shomea Ka'ona. Right? I can just listen attentively, and I can be Yotze to Sugi and Sukkah and Afla Meches, that we assume, generally speaking, Shomea Ka'ona. So that's what the Rambam writes, that kol hashomea bracha mitchilasa v'atzofa, you heard a bracha in its entirety from beginning to end, in kivin libo yotze. You have in mind to be yotze, you're yotze. That is the chiddush of shomea kone. And then the Rambam adds a line, however, b'chol ha'one amen achra ha'mavarech, but if you answer amen to that kiddush, then harei ze kimavarech. That is considered to be kimavarech. That's as though it's your Kiddush. Pashur Shap, the Ram distinguishes between a lach of Shomea Ka'one as opposed to a case of Anias Amen. If you look, for example, Machlokas Rashi and Tosas, right, the main sugi is in Sukkah and Daf Lamaches. What exactly does Shomea Ka'one accomplish? Now, you know, the Gemara tells us that there's a concept of Shomea Ka'one. Rashi and Tosas debate the following issues found in Sukkah Daf Lamaches, Nosan Brachas Daf Chav Aleph Mabez. Right, the classic case, a person is in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, and the Tzibur comes to Kaddush or Kedusha. So what exactly do you do? What's the appropriate response? So Rashi says the Chiddush of Shomea Ka'ona. Just stop your Shmoneh Esrei and have a mind to be Yotzei. According to Rashi, you have the best of both worlds, no? That you're Yotzei the Kiyum of Kaddush or Kedusha, and at the same time, it's not considered to be a Hefsek in Shmoneh Esrei. The Mechaber Pasen is like Rashi. The Mechaber writes this when it comes to Shmoneh Esrei. The Mechaber also writes this when it comes to Tefillin. You're putting on your Tefillin between the Shoyad and Shorosh, Yehei Shmei Rambo, right? Kaddish or Kedusha. I think it's preferably Kaddish, not Kedusha. So in such a case, right, the Mechaber writes like Rashi. So the staff have in mind to be Yotzei. So in such a case, Shomea Ka'ona. And Tosus, the name of the Rebbeinu Tam, right, gets all upset. How can that be? Shomea Ka'ona. Shomea Ka'ona is a Hefsek. If Shomei is Ka'ona, it's as though you're answering Kaddish, answering Kedusha. You can't answer in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. You can't answer in the middle of Hanachas Tefillin. So in such a case, the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam write that, no, just keep on going. Don't stop and have in mind to be Yotzei. That will constitute a Hefsek. There's even a third Shita. This is similar to what we just discussed in the earlier Shiurim. That's what the Ritva writes in Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches and Sugya, that Shomei Ka'ona doesn't work. Doesn't work. Because Shomea Ka'ona is only when it's Royal Labila, Ein Bila Makevespa. We're sitting down to make Kiddush. Any one of us could make Kiddush. So therefore, you can be Yotzei through Shomea Ka'ona. But the Ritva writes a very great Kiddush. If you cannot meaning one of two ways. One is your Eino Medaber, an Elaim, who cannot speak, or even a great Kiddush. Physically you can, but you're bound. You're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, and you cannot articulate. Shomea Ka'ona doesn't work. That's an interesting Kiddush. that the Ritva writes. This is found in the Ritva, this is found in the Shibboleth HaLeket. There's a lengthy Shuvana in Shagasari, in Simin Vav. Is this really true? The Shamei Kona works with the concept of Kol Rei Labila, Ein Bila Ma'akeves. But that's the Chiddush of the Ritva and the Shibboleth HaLeket. Only when you can, then you can rely on others. So interestingly, the Ritva agrees with Tosus, but for opposite reasons. Right? Rashi says, stop Shamei Kona. Tosus the Ritva writes, no, keep on davening. Tosus says, keep on davening because it's a hefsek. The Ritva writes, keep on davening because nothing gained, because you're not going to be otzei at all. Forget about hefsek, but you're not going to be otzei, because it's ein aray labil, and therefore, ein bila ma'keves. The Shagasariya thinks it's against the Gemara, because the Gemara writes in Rosh Hashanah, right, and Dav Chavtes, let's assume you have a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin. What does he do when it comes to tekiah shofar? So that's where the Gemara seems to say a very great chiddush, that you know what? That he cannot blow himself, because part of him is a chatzi eved who's exempt from shofar. So he can't sound the shofar himself. So what should he do? Yishmu me'acherim. He's obligated to hear someone else's tekiah. So Shagasariya, isn't it black and white? That a person who cannot perform a mitzvah himself has to be yotzei al yaday acherim. So how can anybody assume that Shamei Kona requires kol ra'i levila? How can that be? The Gemara has a case of one who cannot can be yotzei al yaday acherim. We discussed before Rosh Hashanah, is that such a ra'i muchachas? Is there something maybe unusual about tekiah shofar? Maybe it's not the formal Shamei Kona as much as a mitzvah shmia. And the reason that he can't blow himself is because he has to be shomea, a kol shofar, a tekiah shel mitzvah. If that kol was partially produced by one who is not a bar chiyuva, that is not called a kol shofar, shel mitzvah. Even if mitzvah shmiya, you can't have a cheresh, you can't have a shota, you can't have a katan, you can't have an eved blow shofar. But maybe that's not an indicator of shomea kona as much as simply that the kol is not considered to be a kol shofar shel mitzvah. And in such a case, therefore, that chatzi eved has to hear from someone else. But those are the shittas. Rashi, Tosus, the Ritva, interesting possibilities in shomea kona. What is the machlokas, Rashi and Tosus? And the classic way that Horner present is the question is as follows. What does shomea kona mean? Does it mean that I am yotzei b'torah shmiya? Or does it mean, no, Shomea Kona, literal sense, that Shmiya has a Torah's Dibur? Is that really Shomea Kona, that it is tantamount to recitation? Or does it mean, no, you can be Yotzei the Chiyu, right, of Kaddish Kedusha al Yidei Shmiya? Rashi apparently indicates that Shomea Kona does not have a Torah's Dibur, therefore it's not considered to be Hefsek, and Tosus disagrees. And one could envision many nafkaminas. What happens when it comes to mitzvahs where some Dibur is needed? Would we invoke Shomea Kona? Magen Avraham raises the suffix in Tav Pei Tes when it comes to Sefiras Omer. The pasuk says, "Usvartam lachem," that you have to count. You have to count. Would Shomea Kona work? Is that considered to be Usvartam lachem? There could be many other nafkaminas as well. Apparently, according to Tosus, Hashita, Shomea Kona has a Torah's Dibur. According to Rashi, no, it means I'm Yotzi Ayide Shmiya, but it's not Dibur, it's not considered to be Hefsek. How does the Rambam hold regarding this issue? Poshub Shan that Rambam, and Aleph Yir Aleph, Nochus Brachos, the Rambam seems to split. Meaning, Shomea Kona Rashi is right. Shomea Kona does not have a Torah's Dibur. The Rambam writes, that's the uniqueness of Amen. Amen is Harezeh Kimavarech. That's interesting Chiddush, the Rambam Shita. He can be yotzei in one of two ways. Shomea Kona, Anias Amen. Anias Amen is greater. That's Alif Tvei. Why is that true? Because Amen is considered to be Kimavarech. Just as right, the Rambam writes that Amen is considered to be Kamotzi Shumi Pivdami. There's an interesting possible diuk in the Rambam, although it's not exclusive. But the Rambam reads, Kol Asher Bracha Mitchilasa Atzofa, Im Kivin Libo Yotzei. If you have Kavana, you're yotzei. And then the Rambam adds, But Kol Hon Mavarech, one could be medayik in the Rambam, again, it's not so compelling, but one could be medayik. This already is Arav Kesa Mishnah, that when it comes to Anias Amen, the Rambam doesn't mention even Kivan Libo Yatza. Maybe one could suggest a fascinating Kiddush, that Kavana is needed for Shomea Kaone. When I am being Yotzei B'Torah Shmiya through your bracha, then Kavana is needed. But if Anias Amen is considered to be Kimivarech, maybe B'di Eved, Mitzvos, Ein, Srifos, Kavana. Interesting possibility in the Rambam Shita. This is a diuk in the Rambam, but this is mefurish and shittim kubetzes. If you look in the shittim kubetzes, the enemy sefas brachas adav nun dalet, shittim kubetzes writes explicitly that anias amein, one would be able to say even without kavanah, even if shamea pa'onah requires kavanah. That's part of the uniqueness of amein. Amein is as though you have recited the bracha yourself. Interesting finish. Rav Soloveitchik even pointed out a fascinating diuk in the Rambam Shita, that there are two places where the Rambam only mentions Anias Amein, and the Rambam does not mention Shomei Kol. One is in Perakei, the Pilchus Brachos, regarding Birchas Hamazon. There the Rambam describes Birchas Hamazon Bechabur. How is that done? The old minute, not everybody used to bench. One person used to bench. And the Rambam writes, and what happens? The Mezamein recites, right, the Birchas Hamazon. And the Rambam explains that Vehein Onin Amein Achar Kol Bracha Bracha. And every one of the Mesubim answers Amein. The Rambam writes the same in Parakhesef of Tefillah when it comes to Chazaras Hashayas. You know, the Rambam uses the term of Tefillas Hatzibur. That's the term that the Rambam uses. Not just Tefillah Bitzibur, Tefillas Hatzibur. Tefillah Bitzibur just simply seems to be the Tefillas Yachid in the context of the Minyan. Tefillas Hatzibur, right, is a different quality of Tefillah entirely. That's how the Rambam terms the Chazaras Hashayas. A Tefillas Hatzibur, comparable to the theme of, let's say, a Karban Sibur. It's not just a Karban Hashutfin, but rather it's a Karban of the entire Sibur, a Tefillah on behalf of the entire Sibur. So the Rambam describes, what is the Tefillah's Hatzibur? So the Rambam writes that, interestingly, the Chazan recites every word. The Rambam writes, everyone stands. The Rambam writes, you need Amida for Chazar Sashatz. The Rambam quotes as the Rambam. Right, that everybody has to stand for Chazar Sashatz. It's the Rambam Shita. And the Rambam writes, Va'onin Amein Achar Kol Bracha Bracha. Right? And they have to answer, Amein and Varein Kim Mispalim. So it's interesting finish that the Rambam writes. Rav Soloveitchik commented that, you know, you, once you saw that Rambam Paragalit, Vuchas Brachas, you would have expected now the Rambam to say, what is Zimun? The Rambam should have said, well, everyone has to listen attentively. Shomei Akona, but ideally, answer Amein. What is Tefillas HaTzibur? Listen attentively, but ideally answer Amein. Here the Rambam drops Shomei Kol entirely. The Rambam only mentions Anias Amein. It's as though that the Rambam is assuming when it comes to Tefillas HaTzibur and when it comes to Birchas Hamazon Dechabura, there Amein is the only option. Right there, you don't have the option of Shomei Kol. That's the finish, was the Leitchik's suggestion. When you're dealing with a Chovas Yochid, I have to make Kiddush. So that can be fulfilled in one of two ways. I can listen to your Kiddush, Shemei Kona, I can answer Amen, which is tantamount to my making Kiddush. But when you have Tfilas Hatzibur, that requires the participation, the Hishtatfus Hatzibur. And therefore, the Rambam deletes Shemei Kona. It only mentions Anias Amen. When it comes to Birchas Hamazon Bechabura, what makes it Birchas Hamazon Bechabura? Not that you are being motzimi. It means it's a unified, a composite Birchas Hamazon. That is accomplished by the Anias Amein. And maybe that's why the Rambam rhythmically omits the possibility of a Shomei Ka'ona when it comes to Tefillas HaTzibur. So they just suggested this could be a fourth Shita. Right? You're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. The Tzibur comes to Kadosh HaKadusha. We have three Shittas, right? Rashi, Dosus, the Ritva. Or the Vachim suggests a coin from maybe another Shitta. Shomei Kona doesn't work. Not because the Ritva of Raya Labila. No. Raya Labila could work when it comes to Chovas Yachid. But when it comes to Tfilas HaTzibur, there you require the Hishtatfus HaTzibur. Ram doesn't have Shomei Kona. Ram only has any Asame. And therefore, if you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and you cannot answer Kaddish or Kedush or Amein, in such a case, you're not going to be Osei. There isn't a tier of a Shomei Kona. It's an interesting possibility. But the Rambam indicates that Anias Amein accomplishes that which Shomei Kona, right, cannot. Right? Because Anias Amein is considered to be that which is Kimevarech. This perhaps is also relevant. It's a fascinating comment that you find in Balamor and Ramban, the Sugya Brachos and Daf Chav. That's where the Gemara discusses, when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, is it possible, for example, for a woman to be motzi men in benching? Ben mevarech la'aviv, is it possible for a katan to motzi a gadol in benching? What we have in the Gemara, right, the brachos and daf chav, is that there are two tiers of benching. Right, there's a chiyuv daraisa birchas hamazon, and that's ve'achalta v'sabata. That's if you eat k'dei svia. And then there's birchas hamazon, a level of derabanan, if you only eat the kazayis. So poshim shav, the Gemara tells us the following: if a gadol ate a kazayis, then he can be yotze birchas hamazon through his wife and through his child, because after all, they certainly are chayv birchas hamazon derabanan. But if a man ate k'dei svia, in such a case, not true. Right, the child cannot be motzi because the child is only obligated in benching the rabbanan, and women is the suffix in the Gemara, whether obligated in benching the raisa or the rabbanan. What do you see according to that Gemara? I guess a couple of very great chiddushim. Chiddush number one is Dikar Hadin, that there are two tiers of Birchas HaMazon. There's Birchas HaMazon the raisa and Birchas HaMazon the rabbanan. Another chiddush is Poshim Shat that Gemara Chinuch means that a katan is a bar chiyuv in mitzvos. It's not just simply that the katan is potter, but there's a parental obligation to guide. You know, the Gemara says a katan can be motzi a gadol. Of course, not in a mitzvah daraisa, but in a mitzvah derabanan. So pashim shat in that Gemara to chidushim that kazayis is only derabanan, and a katan is a barchim. You know, the Ramban in the Melchamos disagrees with both. Ramban points out that this that the Gemara suggests, two tiers of benching, daraisa drabanan, this is rejected. And the Ramban shita is there's no such thing as birchas hamazon drabanan. In other words, the Ramban maintains kazayis is a din daraisa. That's the Ramban shita. Kazayis is daraisa. It's mafurish in Yerushalmi. And the Ramban writes that is the shita sababli as well. Even furthermore, the Ramban, when it comes to chinuch, a separate shir, the Ramban happens to maintain, right, in Megillah Daf Yotes, that a katan is not a bar chiyuv at all. Chinuch is a parental obligation, but the katan is not a bar chiyuv. And the Raya the Ramban brings is that Mishnah Megillah Daf Yotes that a katan cannot be motzi a gadol in Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah is not the Raisa. Why can't a katan be motzi a gadol? The answer is because a katan is not a bar chiyuv. Tosus has a hard time with that, no? Tosus, who assumes that a katan is a bar chiyuva, right? Tosus is very bothered, so why does the Mishnah say in Megillah Daf Yotes a katan cannot be motzi gadol in Kriyas HaMegillah? So Tosus writes this great chiddush that, you know, there's something called Araisa, there's something called Rabbanan, and then there's something called Trade Rabbanan. Trade Rabbanan. A katan is two steps removed from the din daraisa. Number one is the mitzvah is only drabanan, kriyas hamegillah. Number two, the chiyuv of the katan, even in mitzvahs min hatorah, is only drabanan. So a mitzvah drabanan with a bar chiyuv drabanan cannot be motzi one who is a bar chiyuv daraisa and a mitzvah drabanan. Well, that's Tosus Sushita of a trade drabanan. And Tosus is bothered, well then, how is it possible for a katan to be motzi a gadol in benching? So Tosa says, we have to add a little bit to the Gemara. The Gemara just said that the gadol ate a kazayis. Tosa throws in, as opposed to the katan who ate k'dei svia. If a katan eats k'dei svia and the gadol eats a kazayis, now everybody's a chad rabbanan. That's what Tosa writes. The katan accomplished that which there should be a chiyuv birchas mazon d'araisa, he's a bar chiyuv d'rabbanan. The gadol is a bar chiyuv d'araisa with a shir d'rabbanan. Good, now everything is a chad d'rabbanan. Veino chinami, if a katan and a gadol both eat a kazayis, Tosus Hashita is a katan cannot be motzi gadol in benching. That's a chad d'rabbanan versus a case of a trade d'rabbanan. That's a chidushim of Tosus. Now the Ramban writes, it's not true. A katan is not a bar chiyuva, and that's mafurish in the Yerushalmi. So what do you do with the braisa that the Gemara quotes? Ben mevarech la'aviv, ben mevarech la'aviv. So the Ramban and the Balamor, this is found in Brachos, Nafi Beis, and Dafi Harif, say, well, Yerushalmi gives the answer. Yerushalmi gives an answer. Interesting, this Yerushalmi is found in Perek Gimel of Brachos and in Perek Gimel of Rosh Hashanah. And the Yerushalmis that we have are different. What we have in Brachos, right, in Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, is Tipoter, the case of Ben Mevarech Labim, is Ba'ona Achrehen Amen. Amen. The Gadol answered Amen. That's a pretty unbelievable finish. What we have in the Yerushalmi, that's the Girsa of the Balamor, that's what we have in our Yerushalmi Brachos in Gimel Gimel, Ona Achrein Amen. You know what that Chiddush is? Is that even though you need a Bar Chiyuva for Shomea Ka'one, you don't need a Bar Chiyuva for Anias Amen. That's the Yerushalmi. Amen is Kimavarech. Amen is Kimavarech. And therefore, you only need a Mechuya Badavar for Shomea Ka'one, not for Anias Amen. If you look in the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah, in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud, the Yerushalmi leaves out one word. The Yerushalmi says, Tipater, what are we talking about? Ben Mevarech Lavid? Be'ona Achrehen, period. Not Monachem Amen. Ona Achrehen. Ona Achrehen without Amen is very different. You know what Ona Achrehen means? That the Gadol, right, says the words himself, verbatim. The Katan says, right, every word of the Birchas Hamazon, and repeat after me. The Gadol Onachem repeats every word. No, there are two Girsos we have in the Yerushalmi about what is the Teretz. How is it possible Ben Mevarech Lavid? Onachreim is a very small Kiddush. It's a Makre. No, like what the Mishnah says regarding Bikurim. You bring it from the Beis HaMikdash. There are many people didn't know Mikra Bikurim. So the Kohen would recite Arami, Oved, Avi, and you would say Arami, Oved, Avi. That's what the Yerushalmi writes about Ben Mevarech Lavid. But the Yerushalmi in Bracha says, Onachrein Amen. That's a very great Kiddush, that Amen does not require a Bar Chiyuva. The Tur, right, in Hilchos Birchos Hodan, or Chaim and Siman Reish Tes, quotes, right, the Rosh is saying a similar Kiddush when it comes to a Birchas Hagomen. Birchas Hagomen, right, Reish Tes, Nor Chaim. Right, so the Tur quotes the Rosh, that, let's assume, for example, someone is reciting Birchas HaGomel, and I want to be yotzei with them. So if we're all chayim, we all took this trip together. So you can recite Birchas HaGomel, I can be yotzei. What happens if somebody recited the Birchas HaGomel b'Torah Shevach? And he was not chayim in Birchas HaGomel. Can I be yotzei with that? It's the Torah quotes the Rosh is saying, it depends. There's no Shomei HaKoneh. He's not mechuyav b'davar. But if you answer, Amen, you're yotzei, because Amen is kamotzi shemepiv dami. It's as though you articulated the words. You can be yotzei a bracha, even from someone who is not a bar chiyuva al yedei anias Amen. These are all indications, right, of the uniqueness of Amen. When it comes to cases of shvua, right, when it comes to cases of dini brachos, and interestingly that Amen, right, sometimes is merely kabbalas dvarim, right, and that possibility as well, that one, in fact, sometimes, right, could be yotzei through Shomei HaKoneh, sometimes yotzei through the case of Anias Amen. It's a very interesting chiddush, right, that Anias Amen can play, right, multiple roles. Just one last point, in the very beginning of the parsha, the Ramban makes, right, a very interesting comment. He cites the Gemara Bava Basra and Dav to Zayin Amar Aleph, that one of the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu, we always think that there were 10 nisyonos, and the final nisyon was the climax, now of Akedas Yitzchak. Ramban writes that no, Rabbi Seinu Amru, that the following nisyon, right after Akedas Yitzchak, was the Kfura of Sarimenu. Right? Where the Ramban points out, after all, this was Gam Zemen HaNisyonos Shel Avram, after all, Shabike Shlik for Asara, he wanted simply to bury Sara Imenu, and he had so much trouble until he was Kone that Karka Bekesiv Mali. The Rabban makes that comment that realized Chazal treat this as a significant Nisayon. Why exactly was it such a Nisayon? Right? Number one, no doubt, that Avram Avinu was promised that Eretz Yisrael was his. Zara Chanasati Asara Tzazos. Yerushalmi writes in Krabbeis of Chalak Par Nosati, It doesn't say the Zaracha etain, but rather Nosati Loshan Avar. Here everything was already Avram Avinu's. And yet, simply to purchase a small parcel of land, right, Avram Avinu met such difficulty that he had to purchase it bekesef mamay. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that this is already all yours. And Avram Avinu did not question the Hashgachas Hashem, and therefore that was Nisayon. How would he respond to the need to purchase that that Hashem promised him was in fact already yours? If you look in Chsam Sofer, the Chsam Sofer writes this in the Tshuvas in Yerodeya, in Simen Shin Lamed Beis, he writes the Nisayon was somewhat different in the following sense, that this was, right, Avram Avinu's first kinyan in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Avram Avinu was promised, Eretz Yisrael will be yours, right? The dream, the vision of Avram Avinu, the fulfillment of the Bris Ben Habesarim. And how was that fulfilled? What was the initiation of Avram Avinu's stronghold in Eretz Yisrael? It was the Tzorech HaKvura. That is what some Sofer points out. That also had an element of Eni Zayim. One who is so attached to Eretz Yisrael, or yearns to be in Eretz Yisrael, and the first formal kinyan in Eretz Yisrael, right, is Letzorech Hames. It's something which is Letzorech Kvura. Some Sofer writes, perhaps somewhat of a melitza, that when we say in our davening, the Solichenu Kamamios Leartzenu, Kamios means, right, straight right, and an upright posture, that we should be zelchet to be in Eretz Yisrael, not simply a Kvura Baretz, but we should be able to inhabit and to live in Eretz Yisrael B'chaim, not something which is only Letzorech HaKvura. Perhaps one could understand the Nisayon of this as opposed to Akedas Yitzchak in another sense. There's a very fascinating medrash that I haven't found the original makor of this medrash, but if you look in the Ein Yaakov, there's several hakdamas to the Ein Yaakov. One is called the Hakdamas HaKoset. So if you look in the Hakdama of the Ein Yaakov, right, those are here mentioned as Mashabas, right? Here the medrash writes a very interesting finish. It begins with the sheet of Ben Zoma. We know this from the Yerushalmi, right, of Rabbi Akiva, that V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha zeh klal gadol b'Torah. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. So the Yerushalmi picks up, or this Medrash picks up on this theme, what mitzvah is the klal gadol b'Torah? So the Medrash quotes several different deals. The first is Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. That's it. Emunah. Bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the klal gadol b'Torah. Then the Midrash continues and quotes the sheet of Benanas. Yesh klal kolo yose. There's a more fundamental principle. And that principle is V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. That's the zeh klal gadol b'Torah. Good. And then the Midrash quotes a third sheet there. Reb Shimon ben Pazi. Yesh klal kolo yosef. There's even a more encompassing principle. And what is that? This is surprising, no? The Parsha Satami. It's a keves echot taseh b'boker, it's a keves hashin taseh ben rabai. That is the klal gadol b'Torah. And the Medrash continues and writes, v'halocha k'ben pazi. Unusual, right? The Medrash paskins, right? That we hold the halacha like the shita of, right, ben pazi. Not Shema Yisrael, not Kabbalah Samach v'shamayim, and not v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, but rather es hakeves echad taseh b'boker. Shema Yisrael as being a klal gadol b'Torah that we readily understand. We discussed at the beginning of the shir, right, the primacy of mitzvos ben adam l'makom v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, right, the importance of shibudi ben adam l'chavero. No doubt, one can question what is the klal gadol b'Torah of the karban tami. Es hakeves echad taseh b'boker ve'es hakeves hashin taseh ben arba'im. Right, that the Medrash does not explain. Even if you look in the Ein Yaakov, he doesn't fully explain the significance of that last day of Rishon Pazi. So perhaps the answer, right, is this point. That no doubt when it comes to Avodas Hashem, you know, there are moments. There are moments, right? There are times when a person is so inspired that the person reaches great heights, right, in terms of, right, their emunah, their bitachon, their shmiras mitzvos, right, nilan yom kippur, right, the moment of inspiration. A person experiences, right, enes nigla, enes nistar. The Ramban already points out that elicits, right, the great sense of emunah and bitachon. One of the greatest challenges right, of emuna and bitachon and being an eved Hashem is consistency, right, in day-to-day life. And that's what the Ramban stresses in the very end of Parshas Vayomer. The whole purpose of the Nisim Gluyim is to recognize Hashgachas Hashem in every facet of life, of Nisim and Yistarim. Right, the Nes Nigla was not just for the moment the Kriyas Yamsa, but min Nisim Hadol Hamafursamim Adamod Nisim Hanistarim. Now the purpose is, look, Kadosh Baruch Hu is capable of this. It hones your vision to recognize the Yad Hashem in everything which is done. In a word, right, the real test is one of consistency. You know, sometimes you experience in life, a person in a moment can be willing to be Moser Nefesh V'Toras Hashem. Yeah, in a moment of inspiration, but somehow the daily routine, right, is not done with that same measure of Mesiras Nefesh, of Emunah, Bitachon, right, of the consistency of being an Eved Hashem. Perhaps that's the significance of that sheepdog Shimon and Bazi. The real klal gadol b'Torah is every single day to offer the Karbat Tamid Shel Shachar, to offer the Karbat Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, of course, Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim, of course, moments of Yavta D'Reyach HaKamocha, but the consistent Avodas Hashem, day in and day out, that is considered to be the klal gadol b'Torah. It's something that a person, right, can easily dismiss, right, and lose that sense of passion, the sense of yischavshus and yislavus, enthusiasm in terms of that particular avodah. To be able to, right, master, right, the korban tamid, the same avodah every morning, every afternoon, with that consistent avodas Hashem, that is considered to be the cloud gadol b'Torah. Perhaps that's the meaning of that particular midrash. In that sense, maybe also you can understand what the Gemara writes in Bava Basra and Daf Tezvav, that uniqueness of this nisayon of Avraham Avinu, right? Akedas Yitzhak, right? That was kind of a moment of inspiration, you know? That is an ultimate nisayon. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu asked Avraham Avinu, right, to sacrifice his son, and he's willing to go ahead and to do so, and spared from carrying out that Sivui Hashem. No doubt that's a nisayon. And what is the nisayon that immediately follows? It's something which is seemingly so mundane. No, simply secure a makom kvura. No? A person, for example, right, who, right, was able to excel, right, in that form of Mesiras Nefesh, Akedas Yitzchak, all of Eser Nisyonos that Avraham Avinu was able to, right, conquer, able to excel. And all of a sudden, on something which is almost routine, something being kona, a parcel of land that Kadosh Baruch Hu promised that was his, Avraham Avinu finds such difficulty in doing so, right, that also is considered to be a Nisyon. Right, the day-to-day transaction, the day-to-day routine, that which naturally occurs, the need to go ahead and to secure a makom kvura, to be able to demonstrate the same, right, yischadshus, the same yislavus, the same emuna and bitachon of a moment of akedas yitzchak, as you would simply to be konakarka, right, letzorach mitzvah as well. And Chazal teach, right, is also considered to be part of an Yisrael. And perhaps that's similar to the Shita of Shimon Pazi, Esekeves Echot Esevoker. The real Nisayon of that which seems to pale, right, compared to, right, those moments that are so obvious, Nisim Gluyim, right, moments of Nisayon, but simply the daily routine, right? And therefore, the climax is not simply the Keres Yitzchak, but being able to translate that emunah bitachon into something that seems, right, almost mundane, purchasing a piece of karka, right, that also is considered to be, right, ultimate sense of nisayon as well. So it's important, perhaps, in light of that medrash, that the real nisayon, right, is every facet of life, has to be replete, right, with the Torah Hashem, right, and therefore the Torah doesn't simply end the nisayonos with HaKadosh Yitzchak, right? That's the penultimate nisayon. But then, nisayon of transmission, right? Of seeing to it that that envelops, right, even that which seems to be, right, a regular, more mundane activity, but nonetheless, that also is with the same enthusiasm, the same emunah, the same bitachon, as though it was an act of comparable to HaKadosh Yitzchak. Okay. Right, that the Rambam writes now. Amen.
Right, yeah. So the Rambam says it by
Right, correct. That's interesting. That the Rambam distinguishes.